He met their basic needs first. So be like Jesus. And then be authentic. And we're going to keep unpacking this. This is another reason I come to this church, because this is my like favorite drink right here. So, but I shouldn't drink that because that has a lot of bubbles. So put that for later. I'm just saying, I don't want to make a noise up here. So is that too much? Too much? What time is it? I usually lose my filter about now. And we're just getting started. So the next one's going to be so good. Like, so good. And I will never be welcome back again. That's okay. I have a mug, and I got a Houston First mug, and I'm good to go. But be authentic. Here's the thing, and this is what I'm talking about. Kids don't need you to be perfect. They want you to be real. They just want you to be you. They want you to just be who you are. And isn't that kind of relieving? That means if you're having a bad day, that's okay. Now, that doesn't mean that you come in a bad mood and you're rude. Nothing is going my way. Has anyone ever felt that way before? And the kids are like, oh, yes, all the time. And in my head, I want to be like, yes, I'm sure your problems are so big, right? But they do. They have big problems. And so I'll just go, it's a rough day. I just need a minute. And you know what that does? They go, oh, she has a rough day too. Okay, it's okay when I have a rough day. My little nephew is, he's 6 now. When he was 3, he started having seizures out of the blue, grand mal seizures, super, super scary. And I was at camp and we had no idea what was going on. And if you've ever seen a kid have a seizure, it's just so heartbreaking. And I'm Auntie Mo, and that is my favorite job ever until I got married, and I love being a wife as well. But he started having seizures, and I was getting up to speak, and you know, you're on the group family text, and it came in like he's seizing again. The ambulance had taken him to the hospital, all that stuff, and so I get up in front of these kids, and I'm like, huh, I'm broken. And so I said, hey guys, I just need to tell you I'm having a rough day. My nephew, Nutbutt, I call him Nutbutt. Well, you tell kids that, you win them over for the rest of their life. That's like the best thing they've ever heard. But I said, my nephew, I call him Nutbutt, he's having seizures, and I'm so scared. And I know that God is in control, and I know that God is there, but my heart is anxious, and I'm concerned. And they were, you know what they were doing? Not a thing. You could have heard a pin drop. They were totally keyed in with me. And I said, oh, would a couple of you be willing to pray for him? I'm not lying when I said probably 25, 50 hands went in the air. And they began to pray for him. I picked like 5 of them. And they prayed for my nephew in words that I couldn't even put into words, right? And they prayed so specifically and so beautifully. And I realized, like, why do I think I always have to have it all together? And in fact, we had like a little mini revival breakout in camp because all of a sudden it became a safe place where they could say stuff that made their heart anxious. And they could talk about times they were scared. And the rest of the week they would check on me. Miss Mel, how's your heart today? How's Nutbutt? How is he? I think every kid at one point came by to check on me. And I had my room was on the ground floor, so they found out where it was, so they would walk by. How's Nutbutt? And I'm like, oh my word, you know, like, never be naked in the room. Like, always in the bathroom. But they would just walk by and holler and check on me, and they would find me. That's what authenticity does. It gives you this, like, hey, we're okay, I'm okay, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. So be authentic. So also we want you to be prepared. Okay, I'm not trying to treat you like you're stupid. I'm really not, because I don't think you are. But have you ever just forgotten to read your lesson ahead of time? Because I have. I have had those moments where I pray for the stoplight to turn red on the way to church. Right? So I can be like, oh dear. What are we doing today? I'm being really honest. I live in a town with 3 stoplights. And on my way to church, I don't go through the stoplights. But when I forget to read my lesson, guess what? I go the long way to church to stop at the stoplight. But here's how you get prepared. You read through your lesson ahead of time. And that doesn't mean Sunday morning at 7 a.m. What if on Monday or Tuesday you went and you started reading ahead? Read through it. That's just simple. It's simple, and but sometimes we just forget to do that. Read through your lesson ahead of time, and then pray through your lesson throughout the week. Why do you want to pray about it? Why would we want to pray about our lesson? Go ahead, talk back to me, because you're getting sleepy. Go ahead. Why would you want to pray through your lesson? What is your name? Linda? Linda needs a prize. Can we give her this? Linda, you're getting a radioactive material. We're very happy. Exactly, so that God can pour into us what we want to pour into the kids. It's really hard to be prepared to teach kids if you aren't praying about it. And it's really hard to be open and honest with kids about the subject if you don't remember what the subject is. And if you haven't prayed about it ahead of time, God is going to use you, so pray through it ahead of time. Also, it gets your heart in the right spot. It gets your heart in the right spot, so you kind of, okay, yeah. And I guarantee you, probably God will bring a situation into your life that week, right? That you'll be like, oh, I can talk to kids about that. Oh, I can do, and that's what being prepared looks like. So pray through your lesson. Throughout the week, look for ways to insert your own experience into the lesson. And all that means is be authentic. But what it is this. It's saying, if you want these kids to care about the lesson, you need to care about the lesson. And you need to talk about what you've learned. So I will say this every time I talk anywhere. If you are talking to kids and you aren't sharing a part of your own story, you are missing an opportunity. And I mean this every single time. And don't think that they're going to be like, we've already heard this. They'll do that with the Bible stories. They will not do it with your stories. Because kids love stories. And they love repetition. And it does not matter what age they are. From little to all the way up. They love to hear those stories. So look for ways to insert your own experience into the lesson. What does that look like for you? If you're talking about courage, what's a time you had to show courage? And it doesn't need to be a big thing all the time. Sometimes we think we have to have, like, someone told me one time, he goes, I don't know what to say. I've never been hit by a car. And I was like, that's a good thing. Like, let's clap for that. Like, and he goes, but nothing dramatic has ever happened to me. Don't get concerned with thinking you need some major drama in your life to relate to kids. Just relate on a basic need, basic level. Have you ever had to have courage? Yeah. Have you ever? I mean, I have story after story. I'm scared to death of mice. And I saw one recently, not here, but I saw one. We were on our family vacation. Our whole family goes for Labor Day. We were in a cabin, and I knew there was a mouse because the family had told me it ate a banana. What kind of mouse does that, okay? Like, that's not a normal mouse. It ate a whole banana. So I'm like, rat, big rat. So the last night at this cabin, the one person who's petrified, I come out of the bathroom, and the mouse is skipping ahead of me. And my brother-in-law goes, sis, I've never heard you make noises like that before. And I am a very even-keeled. Like, I do not cry easily. I don't scream. Nothing. And I lost my mind. And my husband, who, like, we'd been married 6 months, he was like, I don't even know who you are. And he had been trying to, like, tease me about mice, and I'm like, you don't understand. Now he does. And he's like, oh, come here. I mean, I instantly start sobbing. Well, guess what? That's a story I can share with kids. Because they get it. Now, they might go, I'm not afraid of mice. That's okay. What are you afraid of? I've seen, my dad screams if he sees a spider. I don't mind spiders. They're fine. A mouse? Watch out, world. Now, just to finish that story, that mouse had been under my bed, our bed, because I have an our bed now, which my poor husband, this is not a joke. Last week, he scared me. I've never slept with a man in my bed ever in my life until I got married. And he was rolling over in the middle of the night, and he like sat up, and I opened my eyes. And I punched him right in the face. He scared me so bad. And as soon as I hit him, I was like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. So I was like, I thought we had gotten past it because I was punching him a lot when we first got married. But anyways, poor man. So this mouse had been under our bed. So then I'm sitting in the bed and everyone's gone to bed, but my brother-in-law and my husband, because they are men hunters, right? Like we will kill the mouse, mostly because I'm whimpering in a ball. And so finally they go, we think we got it. And my husband goes, I'm going to get in the shower. I'm like, okay. And so my brother-in-law, I said, Thalen, will you just stay by me? Just stay. He's like, sis. And he put a chair just and faced me. He's like, I'm right here. And all of a sudden he like turns around and out from the bathroom runs this mouse. And I'm like, ah, you know, nothing's coming out. And finally, the good news is we killed it. But here's the deal. It's a funny story, but kids understand that kind of fear. Kids love hearing stories like that. Some of you are like, that's the best thing I heard all night. If that other speaker had told funny stories, I would have listened a little better. Don't get me wrong. I know some of you were dozing off a little. But here's the deal. What happens is we go, hey, same playing field. I don't have it figured out any better than you do. I struggle with stuff too. That is important. And that's how we be prepared. And that's how we get to where we need to be. My reminder, this next slide, is that you want to be as prepared as possible and as interruptible as possible. The more prepared you are, the more interruptible you can be. Because you're prepared, which means if something goes haywire in the classroom, it's okay. Or if you feel like God's saying, you know what, let's go this direction. Or this kid brought up this question, and I really feel like we need to talk about it. That's okay. But what you want to be careful about is not being as interruptible as possible because you aren't prepared. So then you're like, okay, God, if you could just show up and do something, that'd be great because I got nothing. That's irresponsible. The other thing we do is we swing so far to the other side, we're so prepared that if the Holy Spirit, you know, came in the human form, we wouldn't notice. And so you want to be real careful about that. So I'm going to have you stop. I want you to talk at your tables for a minute. What's one thing that you're liking or, I don't know, disagreeing with? Tell somebody else, write that on your evaluation. But what's one thing that you want to remember already that you've heard? So talk to each other. Are we? talking? Because that means you hopefully are talking. Well, hello. Sorry. I love that you're still talking and not listening to me. That is awesome. Because that tells me that you have some takeaways. So could you share with the group just what's a takeaway? Who wants to share a takeaway that they've gotten? I will start calling on people. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Amen. Oh, I love that. Now you're going to make me cry. I love that. I don't know if you could all hear that because your volume button was a little low and so it's starting to hear. So, but you could be just a little. But she was sharing about how she wears hearing aids and she had thought that would be something that would maybe disqualify her, would be not helpful, and how God used that in this girl's life to just shine. And I love that. I love that's what God does with our weaknesses. The things that we think are maybe the worst parts of us or the things that are the most challenging, and God's like, oh, just watch what I can do. And that is a beautiful story of God using what you would have said was not something you think he could use. And look what he does. I love that. And that is so important. If we were all perfect, these kids would not want to know Jesus because they are not perfect. And when we give them a perfect version of ourselves, they can't meet up. They can't measure up to it. And they'll tell me all the time, they're like, I can't be like that. I've told this story, I think, here before, but I kids can always ask me a question. You know, raise your hand, I'll answer your question. And kid raised his hand for like 3 days, annoyed me to death. You know that kid that's like, so I ignored him. I ignore obnoxious children. And I know it's wrong, but I did. 3 days I ignored him because he was annoying me. And so finally he came up to me, goes, Miss Mel, would you please call on me? And then I felt convicted and terrible. And so I said, I will. But in my head, I had assumed because he was so annoying, he would ask a dumb question. And so I called on him, and I was expecting something like, have you ever ridden a dinosaur? You know, like, are you a dinosaur? I had one kid ask me, who's your favorite warlord? That's creepy, right? Like, that's a creepy kid. That's like, you're headed somewhere in life on the news. So anyways, he's in the back and he's, ooh, so I call on him. And as soon as I call him, he looks at me and I had that oh no feeling, like, oh dear. And he got serious and he looks at me and goes, Miss Mel, when is the last time you doubted God and you wanted to walk away? I was like, shoot. I knew I shouldn't have called on that kid. But you know what he was saying? He's going, this is all great. I love the stories. I love the Bible. It's all great. But what about you, Miss Mel? You tell me the last time you doubted God. What he was saying was, it's all noise until I know what you think. And that's what kids will say. They want to know what you think about it. They want to know what your own personal experience is. And I could have said, oh, I've never doubted God. First of all, that would have been a lie. And I really don't think we should lie to children. people in general, but especially kids. I could have also said, you know, I have had doubts, but God is good, and we know in the Bible. That would be true, right? But is that authentic and real? No. So I was really honest with him. I can't remember what I said. I wish I could. But I was honest. And he went, you could watch his little shoulders kind of settle down. He's like, okay. And I was one of those moments where I think God gives us holy moments with kids because they are wet cement, right? And I think we have those moments where I get goosebumps when it happens, when I'm like, oh, we just made a spot in that cement. And I don't think that kid will forget that moment. I really don't. And I know I won't. So that's, you know, that's what we want to do. But they want to know, who are you? Who are you? And kids will ask, what is that in your ear? I mean, they have no boundaries, right? Kids will ask all the time, why are you on crutches? What's wrong with you? Did God make you wrong? I think he did. I don't know. It's a birth defect. Is that, did God? I don't know. But they'll ask, so are we going to be honest? Do this for me. Stand up. If you have a broken Oreo, raise your hand. You're not a winner. You just need a new Oreo. We need a new Oreo in aisle 4, right here. Okay, you got a minute to win it, and you don't win anything except we are giving away another one of these hazardous materials. So, I don't work here. I can give it away, right? No, I can't. Okay, fine. All right, you. I specifically, it, you know who it is? Look who it is. Who ate? You and I are actually kindred spirits, and I like you so much. You're exactly what I would do. Okay, you have a minute. You have to put it on your forehead. Do you know this one? You have to get it from your forehead to your mouth without touching it. On your mark, do not touch it. Get set, go. This is the best part of the night right now. Oh, Reed did it. 30 seconds. You did it? Good job. 30 seconds. Keep trying. I know, but we're going to keep going. How many more can get it? Oh, that was so good. 10 seconds. Who else can get it? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good job. All right. How many of you got it? Yes, we had enough. And I have to tell you, you guys have never looked more ridiculous ever. It was, and then I found myself following what you were doing. I was up here. I'm like, you guys looked awesome. So again, in a minute, what were you focused on? Getting that Oreo in your mouth. Reed, we salute you. I think you were the first one to get it. Well done. I think your stubble helps. I really do. Like, it's kind of like, it's like a stop. Like, I think that helped. Those of us with smooth faces are at a disadvantage. So, and notice I don't play any of these games with you because I just watch and laugh and it brings me joy. So again, just that reminder, we can do a lot in a minute. And kids love stuff like this. Don't ever be afraid to have fun with them. Don't ever be afraid to do things that, you know, that seem silly. They love silly. And in fact, they would rather watch you do it than try it themselves. And then they'll want to do it themselves. And then you'll have the kid that takes all the cookies and eats them. So, because they're still kids. All right, here's what they're asking. Every kid is asking about what you're teaching them. Why do I need to know this? Every kid, I know I skipped a big chunk. I'm really sorry. I saw that. I can spot those of you that are like very type A. You're like, this is what you look like. It's like I pulled the fire alarm. Like, it's okay, God. Pat yourself. You're going to like wipe your sweat. It's okay. The reason I skip that is the next session, which I know not all of you will be in, but I'm going to dive into that a little more. So if you really can't go through your night without those blanks filled in, see me after, okay? And I'll fill them in and maybe give you a pill. So, so I know, Kim, you're the first one. You're like, what? She's gone off the rails. What's happening? So we just skipped a little. So this is what they're asking. Why do I need to know this? Let me tell you this. If you're teaching and you can't answer why they need to know that, then you aren't doing it right. And this is not about the curriculum. Never, ever, ever blame the curriculum for your teaching. You teach the curriculum. The curriculum doesn't teach you. Your job is to be in control of that curriculum. And those staff members in the room, is that okay that I say that? Yeah, right? Like, we want you to take that curriculum and go with the flow, but also you are in charge of that. Which means if you don't know why these kids are learning it, you got to figure that out. Why do I need to know this? Every kid wants to know, why do I need to know this? And what happens if we don't answer that for them? What happens is then we have a generation that walks away from church. And they go, I learned a lot of things, but it didn't matter. And we've seen that time and time again, where whole big sections are walking away from the church and they know stuff up here, but they don't know why it matters. So you want to answer that. Why do I need to know that? You need to be ready to answer that. You need to be intentional. You want to connect truth to their everyday lives. Sometimes we get so caught up in being history tellers, like, you know, like we're history teachers. So Noah took the animals into the ark 2 by 2 by 2. Okay, we know that, but how does that apply to a kid's life today? Right? You're like, oh no, that's what I'm teaching Sunday. If it is, I'm sorry. You can totally work with that. The reality is, though, it has to connect to their everyday life. It's not just about teaching them history. It's not about them knowing the story. It's about them applying it to their life today. And that's really important, because if you're not doing that, again, you're missing that step. And so we want to connect it, the truth, to their everyday life. We also want to let them choose. I'm a big, big, big fan of letting kids choose. And what I mean by that is kids today do not like to be told what to do. Has anyone felt that as a personal experience? Okay, right. I'm not wrong, am I? Tell me if I'm wrong. Now, it's a generational thing in a lot of ways. Part of it, we could blame parents, we can blame whatever we want to blame. The reality is, it's what we're dealing with, kids who don't want to be told what to do. Kids like to choose. Even a 2-year-old wants to choose, right? They'll go, I do it myself. I remember fighting with my 2-year-old niece. Oh, I'm still mad, and she's 4 now. I put her in the car, and I buckled her into her car seat, and she started screaming. Why? Because I buckled it, and she didn't get to buckle it herself. She made me unbuckle it so she could buckle it. Because she goes, I do it myself. Right? Do you know? Now, here's the deal. They go, I want to do it. I want to choose. Here's the deal. 85% of people who find Jesus do so as a kid. 85% of people who find Jesus will find him as a kid, which means they make the biggest decision of their life as a kid. They're choosing Jesus as a kid, and sometimes we forget that they do have the ability to choose. So I always talk about choices with kids. Like, you get to choose what you want to do with Jesus. Here's the facts, here's the Bible, here's what I know. It's up to you what you choose. You get to choose your attitude. Man, there's times I'll talk, like a whole summer we'll talk about, I can't always control what happens to me, but I can control my response. And we'll dive into the Bible story after story of that. Isn't that applicable for today? And don't you wish more adults would learn that lesson? I can choose my response. Let them choose. Make those lessons something where they get to choose. What are you going to do with this lesson? Here's a lesson on courage. What are you going to do with it? Instead of telling them what to do. What happens when you do that is, you can go to that next slide, is they'll write notes like this and they'll have these conversations with God. God, I love you, and tonight I decided to follow you. This kid goes, I made that choice because they were able to choose. And I love that. I love that. And people all the time will tell, like, they're like, you do camp and you do like evangelism with kids very different. That's because I don't make it a big emotional experience. I just lay the facts out and I'm really honest. I'll even start with, is life hard? Kids will be like, uh-huh, yes, it is. They're so cute. They're like, uh-huh, yes, it is hard. And guess what? It's always going to be hard. And it's not going to get easier because life is hard because there's sin in the world. And I'll start and I'll tell the story of the garden and Adam and Eve and the choice they made. And then I'll say, life with Jesus is really hard, but it's the best decision I've ever made. I never want a kid to think that once they start a relationship with Jesus, everything's perfect. We lied to kids for too long. We did that a lot in the 80s and 90s where we gave them a real false gospel. And I refuse to do that. So I'll go, boy, it's hard. It is hard to follow Jesus. Best decision I've ever made. I always know he's with me. I don't always like what's happening, but I know that he's with me. And then they make a decision. So what happens is we have kids choosing to follow Jesus and they're not crying. Now, some of them will because it is an emotional response sometimes, but it's not like I play the piano and they all come forward. First of all, I do not play the piano very well. I like how you were laughing before I even said that. You're like, she did not play the piano. I took 11 years and I don't have the gift, okay? 11 years of piano lessons down the drain. But I don't do that. We don't make it emotional. It's their decision, right where they're at, right where you're at. The next couple other slides here, they'll say, Dear Lord, I feel like you want me to read your word more. Please help me through my journey to grow more in you. I love you, Lord. Isn't that the kind of kid we want to come out of our ministries? A kid who doesn't want to read their Bible because they get a prize or because they feel like they have to, but they go, I feel like God wants me to read the Bible more. That'll preach. When they don't come to church for 3 more weeks, if they're at home reading their Bible, I'm happy with that. I'd love to have them in church, but I want them to know that they can go to God's word. They'll write things like this. I love this one. Dear Jesus, and that's okay. Kids can't spell all the time. Thanks for letting me choose you. This kid made a choice. 2 more here. This one says, and I'm going to read this for you, so follow along. This is Ellie. I don't know what to believe. Some of my family doesn't believe in you. Same with some of my friends. But also, some of my friends and family believe in you. If you are real, please show me a sign that you are actually in heaven somewhere. Thank you. I love kids. They're very, this is what I need you to do. Thank you. Goodbye. Now, she wrote this at the beginning of the week of camp. I saw her write it. I saw her, she hung it up on our response wall that we have. And everything in me wanted to go and talk to her and be like, let's do it. Let me help you. And instead, God's like, just be silent. Which he says that a lot to me. So I was quiet. Well, here's her note at the end of the week. Dear God, tonight I decided to believe in you, no matter what others think, because I believe my decision is right, and it's for me, not anyone else's decision. Thanks. Here's what I love about this. And we talked. She knows Jesus. She made a choice. She took in all of the information. She wrestled all week long with it. And then she goes, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. She goes, it's okay. It doesn't matter what my other family thinks. It doesn't matter what my friends think. This is my decision. That's what the power of choice does for kids. They go, this is my decision. Those are the kids that can pray, God, help my mom to find you because I don't want to be alone. Because they're going, I'm not going back, so mom's going to have to come here. So that's the power of choice. Just a few more slides and then we're done. Are you guys hanging in? We got 5 minutes. Can you do it? I can do another minute to win it. This time it's skewer your neighbor, okay? So what you do, no, I'm kidding. That's terrible. Okay, so it's okay to be quiet. When you're making every minute count, and this is where it gets confusing because you're like, but I'm a teacher. You don't always have to talk. It is okay to let them talk. And in fact, I actually believe we need to be quiet more than we talk. When we're with kids, when we're quiet, guess what they do? They talk. And when we don't try to fill the noise all the time, that's when they'll come over and they'll start talking to you. That's when they'll start to share what's really going on. And it is never convenient. And it's never like when you're emotionally prepared for it or anything. But that's okay. Because they'll go, I want to tell you this. I had a kid come up to me. I was snack night at a camp, and I was with boys, and because I like boys better than girls sometimes, because girls are just a lot and animals and paint and all that. So like nail paint, anyways. And so I'm with the boys because we're trying to catch popcorn in our mouth, you know, like that. So I'm doing this. All of a sudden, this boy comes and sits next to me, and he goes, "It's really hard." I'm like, "I know, it's really hard." He's like, "My best friend got hit by a bus." I'm like, "Oh my word." I have verbally been hit by a bus. He starts to tell me the story of how when he was 7 years old, he watched his friend get hit by a bus. And he goes, he stepped off right before I did. And every day I wish it was me. Every day. And he starts telling me this, and it's pure chaos all around. Kids are still throwing popcorn in my mouth. And we're having this conversation. And what happened was, it was quiet. And not quiet like there was no noise, but he goes, I can talk now. It's okay to let them talk. It's okay not to talk all the time. It's also okay to let them teach. It's okay to let them teach, because what happens is when we teach what we're learning, it cements what we're learning. I learned that, and I actually began to have some of my older, like my preteens, actually start teaching some of our younger kids. So the fifth Sunday of every month, my fifth and sixth graders take over, and they teach our younger kids. It's a hot mess. It really is. But it's awesome because they take ownership of it, and they actually learn more when they're teaching than when they're listening. And it's okay to let them ask questions. I have a whole like hour and a half I could talk about this, but we're not going to. But kids have a lot of questions about God. Have you seen that? I ask kids all the time, how many of you lay in bed at night and think about questions about God? Every time I ask this question, every kid will raise their hand. Kids who don't know God raise their hand, because they're innate within them this desire to know something about God. There's got to be a God. Kids have big questions about God. Let them ask them. Here's the really cool part. You don't have to have all the answers. I think for too long we thought we had to have all the answers to the kids, because what about their faith and what if I don't get it right? I have learned it is okay for me to go, I'm not sure about that. I don't even know. You know what? I can't even figure God out all the way. And if I could, I'd probably be bored, because I get really bored when I can figure things out. And they'll be like, me too. And I've learned to also ask them, what do you think about that? What do you think? The kid who goes, can God murder? No. Well, how did he murder everyone with the flood? Can't stand those kids, right? Like, it's a good one. But I'll ask him, I'll go, what do you think about that? Because I've learned that what they aren't necessarily wanting is an answer from me, but permission from me to ask hard questions. Like, it's okay to ask that question. So let them ask questions. Let them do it. Last slide here, and this is written out for you, but this is, we learn 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, 70% of what we discuss, 80% of what we experience, and 95% of what we teach to others. This might change the way that you interact with the kids that you serve. And this important thing of seeing and hearing discussion, how important it is. And discussion means you're quiet and they discuss. So let that challenge you. The importance with this is we only have so few minutes with kids within our church building, right? Like, we're to be the church everywhere. But make those minutes count. Have fun with them. Point them to Jesus, but be laser-like focused. Like, you're just trying to get that Oreo off your forehead because you're hungry and it needs to get in your mouth. Like, you got to get as many Fruit Loops on there as you can. That's the kind of focus that you need to have when you have this time with those kids. And if you can't have that kind of focus, you may need to reevaluate why you're serving, because what you're doing matters. And that should be your, that, there came my Midwestern accent. That should be your number one priority. Is those kids when you come to serve them, not yourself. So let me pray for us. God, we are grateful for what you're teaching us. We're so grateful that we get the opportunity to serve kids, that you would trust us, that you would use us. Would you challenge us? God, I pray as we drive away later tonight that some of this would just be sticking with us, and that we would think through even what Sunday looks like. And how we can use every minute for your glory, Lord, and to love these kids where they're at and to help them encounter you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.